The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
Good morning all, Ryan Tubridy with you this Monday morning. It is the 23rd of September 2019. We are here till 10 and the text number is 51551. You can email Ryan at RTE.ie. Great photograph from the front of the Irish Examiner, which is a very different looking paper today than it was last time we looked at it. I'll explain that in a second. And that is a picture from Brendan Moran of Sportsfile. And the picture is of Tadhg Furlong scoring his side's third try during an emphatic win over Scotland in the Rugby World Cup yesterday in Japan. I think, like the rest of the country, I was up earlier than one should or would want to be on a Sunday morning. Actually lit the fire and got the house together and turned on the TV and just, there was something kind of almost Christmassy about it. The match, the country, the boys in green, the big win, the bonus point. It was delightful and well done to them, and a great sense of hope, I think, in that performance. A great sense that, you know, maybe making it through. I took out the chart, explained to the girls, now this is where this goes now, and if we go there, and I said, we could be in a bit of bother here. And, you know, it was kind of fun. And so we'll watch them all. And kicked off very, very nicely. I just find Japan so exotic and interesting as a country as well. And then all the teams from around the world gathering, and the politics and the intrigue and the excitement and the daring do. It's all very, very exciting. So well done to Ireland. And onwards and upwards. It's all bodes very, very well for the next few games at least, and then into the hopefully quarterfinals and beyond. The Irish Examiner, I'm dwelling on, because they have the Irish is the word Irish is in black print, but the Examiner is in purple up until the letter R, when it goes back to R, to black, I should say, and then underneath the Examiner is yourself. So let me try and explain that. They've highlighted the word examine and then put yourself in, because they have a cancer awareness campaign. Not something I knew they were doing. And in fact, speaking of rugby, there's Ronan O'Gara. And he's pretty much naked, apart from in the copy of the newspaper that he's reading. And it's part of their campaign to raise cancer awareness this week. On Friday, they're going to publish a special Cancer Feel Good magazine. On Saturday, they're going to publish a 32-page Let's Talk Cancer booklet in association with the CUH charity. And the message is simple. They say, examine yourself. It could save your life. A very worthy, important message, and one that we will be touching on as it happens and by coincidence in the next few minutes when we talk to the Irish Times parliamentary correspondent, Michael O'Regan, who has quite the story to tell. Some of you might have read that story on Saturday, and we're delighted to say he's come in to talk to us this morning. So he's having a cup of coffee outside, he's in flying form, and I just think his story will resonate with a lot of you listening in this morning, no question about it. Speaking of the Irish Times, there's a piece today on page 2 of the Times, full page piece by Conor Gallagher and Circa Pollack, and it says, the headline is Uachtaráid in the crosshairs of a network of far-right and anti-immigration activists. It is an excellent, excellent piece of journalism, and really a truly excellent article that caught my eye from the first paragraph. Long old article, and I say that as a compliment. If you read one piece today, and if you're trying to find out what's happening in Uachtaráid, beautiful, beautiful, one of my favourite parts of the world, as you know, on the foothills, as it were, of the 12 pins, you always drive through Uachtaráid and you come out and you're into Freedom and Connemara and so on. I've never met a bad person from Uachtaráid, and I can tell you that the complicated nature, the nuance of what's happening there with the direct provision blockades and whatever protests, I should say, are examined very carefully by the two journalists in this piece, and suggesting that the local concerns have been hijacked essentially by far-right Irish groups, but also far-left Irish groups, and the locals are caught in the crosshairs. This is before we get to any of the people who want to stay in a direct provision centre, incidentally. It strikes me as though no one's winning here, essentially. No one's winning. And it's got kind of ugly, and I think that there are, you know, there's a lot to be taken from this article, and I would recommend it highly for insight. I'm not going to comment one way or the other on it in the sense of who's right and who's wrong, because that's not for me to say, let's face it. But it's just a well-written, well-thought-out article, and it throws a lot of light on corners of the internet that have become more prevalent in what you might call the mainstream, and names and personalities who are making themselves known more and more at certain types of rallies and infiltration and so forth. Well worth a look at, is what I'll say to you. And you can decide for yourself whether or not you agree. The Irish Tourism is a sight to see. This is Darragh McDonough's piece in the Irish Daily Star this morning, saying that Ireland's national heritage sites attracted nearly 735,000 additional visitors last year, as footfall at the 81 locations increased by 9%. This is great. But the most visited attraction in the country was a place we were last week, Kilkenny, and it's Kilkenny Castle, which is massive. And, I mean, sorry, the numbers are massive. The castle's big too, but the numbers are massive, which is good. Followed by Glendalough, which I haven't been to for 1,000 years, but I must fix that. The National Botanic Gardens, which I visited for the first time only quite recently, and I was bowled over by that. That's in there too. Dublin Castle, another beautiful spot. Kilmainham Jail, which is a must visit for any citizen of this country at some stage in their lives. Farmley is also another beaut. Phoenix Park Visitor Centre is in there too. So that's good news. But there's so many wonderful places to go and visit. It's tremendous. I got a lovely letter. Do you remember I interviewed Courtney Kennedy Smith? Courtney Kennedy Hill, not so long ago. And we kept in touch since. And sadly, when we were off during the summer, her daughter died, Saoirse. And Courtney had been married. She's Bobby Kennedy's daughter, and she was married to Paul Hill. And Saoirse died. And I got a lovely letter from Courtney. She was describing how she had been to visit Kilmainham Jail and went to see where my own grandfather had resided, shall we say, at one point in the early part of the last century, and said she'd like to go and visit there the next time she comes over with me, and as much as I would with her, because she was an extraordinary woman and just complete sense of the country and the Irishness of it, as her family have done down through the years. But she has her own cross to bear now with the loss of her daughter, so we just wish her every best wish, I have to say. A very good person, and just going through an awful tragedy in her life at the moment. But I think that she'll be back here, back in Ireland, back home soon, hopefully. And I look forward to seeing her again. Breeda Heffernan writes in the Irish Independent this morning, meanwhile, that libraries just got very noisy. Excuse me. A new collaboration between Dublin City Libraries and the not-for-profit group Girls Rock Dublin will allow teenagers to borrow musical instruments for free for 3 weeks. What a great idea. So teens just need a library card, which you should all have, and can call into Pier Street Library, where they can borrow from a collection of instruments and amplifiers and musical accessories. This is tremendous. Girls Rock Dublin is a volunteer-led group which builds girls' self-esteem through music composition and performance. It provides workshops and technical training. That is a great idea. So good luck to everyone in that. Nice piece of community activity there, which is lovely. Text, please repeat the name of the newspaper that the Outre-Ireland article is in, printed in. I missed the start of your discussion there. It's the Irish Times, page 2. It's all you need to know, and you can get that online, and if not, in the shop, in the hard copy, which is what I was reading. Her.ie, saying we love a bunch of flowers. I love buying. There's a place down the road for me, and I buy these flowers, just a small enough bunch, but they sit in the kitchen, and they do the old Marie Kondo spark of joy. It's funny, and you just go, that's great. But if they're not the right ones, no. No carnations, no pink, no lilies. No, no, no. I don't want any of them. No, that's not for everyone. I get that, but they just wouldn't be for me. Just like the country garden look. And this has been, it's now borne out in a study, the reason why people like me like to have flowers in the kitchen. And the answer is because it makes us feel better. It sparks joy. Floral joy in our lives. A recent study carried out on people who had surgery, which I haven't had, thankfully, but just to say, 90 patients split into rooms, either with plants or without plants. Now, don't text us about you can't have plants in hospitals. We know. I'm just talking about the study for a minute, okay? So no text on that. We've done that. And they sent in this study for the plants and flowers and so on. And the people with flowers in their rooms had lower blood pressure, lower heart rate, lower ratings of pain, anxiety and fatigue, as well as more positive feelings and a higher satisfaction level than those with no flowers in the room. So apply that then to the everyday. It can only be extrapolated that even if you haven't had a surgery, you walk in, you see flowers sitting on the ledge or by the sink and you think, by the window, and you think, flowers in the window, lovely. Bit of Travis in your life, nothing wrong with that. The flowers in particular that were tested were roses, apparently are the ones that really sparked that joy. These findings indicate that visual stimulation with roses induces physiological and psychological relaxation. So there you go there, right? Next time you need to relax, buy a bunch of roses on your way home. But be warned, do not... Well, no, hang on a second, I can't say that. I would urge you to go to a florist rather than a petrol station to get the flowers because... Especially if you're buying them as a gift, there's just something lacking in heart and soul about petrol station flowers. They're handy, I'm sure, if you're in a rush, but still, yellow chrysanthemums are the best. Well, I always get confused. Is it Lysianthus or Isianthus? Whatever those ones are, they're the best. Now, what have we got for you this morning? Well, I told you Michael's coming in to see us. Michael O'Regan, looking forward to chatting to him about his recent adventures, for want of a better word. But we'll get there in a minute. The text number is 51551. It's now 9:15 and we are truly open for business. One more.